From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. We are excited to have comedian, actor, and now author Dennis Leary on our show. Now, he is known. Very exciting. He's known for his rough language, so we're actually, for the first time, using a tape delay this week. It was going to be the standard 7 seconds, then we read his book. So we've opted instead, just to be safe, for the 1 month tape delay. That's right, we were actually doing the show in early November. Hey, if anybody out there knows how the election turned out, don't tell us. We're still hoping Bob Barr pulls this thing out.
He still could.
So keeping that in mind, give us a call, the number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Leanne Weisenfeld calling from Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there?
I actually work in autism research at the University of North Carolina for the Carolina Institute for Developmental Disabilities.
Wow, that must be interesting and challenging work.
It is both of those, and I enjoy it very, very much.
And utterly out of bounds for me to make fun of, so thanks a lot for that.
Anything, yeah.
Welcome to the show, Leanne. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hello, Leanne.
Hi.
I respect you and your work.
Thank you very much.
Also say hello to a deputy editor and a blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Kiri.
And lastly, say hello to a television personality and the man responsible for MoRocca180.com, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Leanne. I'm too nervous to say anything else.
So am I. Great.
Leanne, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will read you 3 quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just 2 of them, you'll win the prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
All right.
All right. Here's your first quote.
I wonder if they're going to drive back.
That was Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama. He was talking about the witnesses appearing at a hearing in the Capitol this week who drove to Washington this time.
That would be the CEOs of the automakers in Detroit.
You're exactly right. Very good. The CEOs of Ford, Chrysler, GM, they got in trouble last time, you'll remember, because they each flew their own private jets to Washington to beg for billions of dollars in taxpayer money. They got the message. Each of them drove to D.C. this time. There was some confusion, though. For example, GM CEO Rick Wagoner, he was going 70 miles an hour in the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Suddenly he gets up, crawls into the back seat, looks for the first-class bathroom. They're like, no, sir. In addition, this is true. The CEOs, they all get paid tens of million dollars a year for running their companies into the ground. They all agreed, in exchange for a bailout, to reduce their salaries to $1 a year. But here's the beauty part. They're going to be able to keep options on millions of shares in their own companies, which means that their total compensation is actually closer to $3.
Wow.
Can I ask you?
So they pulled a fast one, is what I'm saying.
We let them, they drove here.
They drove to Washington from Detroit.
Okay, great. Now we have to bail out the private plane industry?
I thought it was a bad omen that the Ford guy showed up in a Pinto. If they really cared about saving money, they would have ballooned in.
That's true.
Or they would have hitchhiked, actually, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, they could have carpooled.
They could have carpooled. That's true.
Oh, that God. They never would have made it. Because they're CEOs. They're used to be each being able to pick the music. It's not going to happen.
I smell sitcom. It would be a great CNBC sitcom.
Yeah. And they break down outside a small town and have to learn about what America's really about.
Wow.
I just don't even want to know what music they wanted to listen to anyway.
This is true, by the way. In order to get the money.
mostly less expensive Japanese music.
What? Automobile karaoke. Yeah.
The sound of a Koto playing, but then like they have to roll down their windows and they put on some John Cougar Mellencamp. What?
All right, very good, Leanne. Your next quote is actually from this past spring. It's something we thought about this week because it was someone recounting a specific incident in their broad experience on the global stage.
I remember landing under sniper fire. We just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles to get to our base.
For such courage under fire in pursuit of better foreign relations, that same person was selected this week to become Barack Obama's Secretary of State. Who?
That would be Hillary Clinton.
Yes! Now, Senator Clinton has traveled the world extensively, but just as First Lady for the most part. Now she's hoping that as a real senior administration official, she can fulfill her lifetime dream of actually getting shot at by our nation's enemy. This may explain the title of her first planned foreign policy address, quote, "You blind bastards couldn't hit the broadside of a barn," unquote.
The broadside of the barn tour, she's calling
exactly.
it, I believe,
yeah. It may not all be fun and games for you. Remember when Senator Clinton criticized Barack Obama during the campaign for his willingness to meet with foreign leaders like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad without preconditions?
Yes.
Well, guess is going to be spending 6 days and five nights on a fabulous all-expense-paid vacation in Tehran.
Go get me some preconditions, Hillary.
Exactly. Clinton will be leaving her cherished current job, senator from New York, a job she loved so much she's been desperately trying to get another one for almost 3 years. All right, Leanne, here's your last quote. We love this. It comes from a Hanukkah card that was sent out by the White House.
Please accept our apologies, as the invitation you previously received had the incorrect artwork on it.
Turns out that the first invitation to a White House Hanukkah party had a small error they needed to correct with a follow-up. The first Hanukkah card featured a picture of what?
I'll guess a Christmas tree.
You guessed so correctly. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bush White House is finishing its run with the same flair for competence it's shown throughout. The original invites to the White House Hanukkah party featured a horse-drawn cart bringing a Christmas tree to the White House. That is, of course, in my view, totally legit because, of course, as everyone knows, Hanukkah is the Jewish Christmas where we Jews celebrate the birth of the only Jewish son to actually meet his mother's expectations. Also, in White House Christmas party news, it looked for a while, seriously, that the White House Christmas tree would feature a custom-made ornament that celebrated in text around it the idea of impeaching President Bush. But it's not going to happen. Laura Bush put the kibosh on it. She explained to the president that no, Dick Cheney would not get a kick out of that.
You know, I've always been really down on Hanukkah, but in these economic times, you know, suddenly...
All of a sudden.
Suddenly a holiday based on fuel efficiency doesn't seem so bad, does it?
That's right.
Used to seem kind of scrubby next to the birth of the Messiah, but now...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. 8 days on one tank.
Make that oil last.
Carl, how did Leanne do in our quiz?
She had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Yay!
Well done.
Hanukkah, 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 Hanukkah. Everyone can celebrate Hanukkah. Celebrate the festival of light.
Okay, panelists, time to answer some questions about the week's news. And we're starting with a segment we call...
Does this barrel make my butt look big?
In which wait makes light of the ongoing financial apocalypse. Adam, things are hard. You know how hard things are?
How hard are they? Peter?
They're this hard, Adam. The Wall Street Journal reported that as many as 80% of wealthy men have decided they have to cut back their spending on what?
Oh, geez. Boy, times are hard.
Times are so hard.
Oh, Adam. These are hard times,
hard
buddy.
Hard times.
Those Viagra pills.
No. You're getting close. I'll give you a hand. The idea is, like, instead of, say, new lingerie, they'll just get the old stuff the wives don't want anymore.
Men are spending less.
On their...
Ooh, mistresses.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, their mistresses. A survey...
Where do you get a statistic like that?
The Wall Street Journal, my
Where
friend.
Where do they get a statistic
The Daily
like
Diary of the American
yes,
Dream.
The Wall Street has streetwalkers.
It's true. A survey by a market research firm that specializes in wealthy people. They surveyed private...
Hello, wealthy sir. Can I ask you about your mistress? That's Why, certainly, my good man. Ask away, but I warn you, I'm spending about 80% less these days on her than I used to. How does this work?
So...
Would you like to know about any other indiscretions I've heard? Well, sir, we would like to ask you about embezzlement. Oh, a good question indeed.
That's actually more or less what happened. They allowed these people to fill out, to respond anonymously to this market research thing about their buying habits. And one of the questions was, have you conducted an extramarital affair? And those that admitted to it said yes, you know, like, you know, everybody's suffering, so Buffy there is going to have to do without some bling this year.
So
now, oddly, this is the thing, though. Only 20% of the women who admitted to having long-term boy toys, only 20% of them said they'd be cutting back on the expenses. One wealthy woman explained, quote, it's not like I have to give him much in the first place. He's a guy. He puts out if I give him a Wendy's cheeseburger and a large Frosty. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jack Thompson.
Hey, Jack, where are you calling from?
From Oak Hall, Virginia.
Oak Hall, Virginia, now where's that?
It's on the peninsula between Norfolk, Virginia and Baltimore.
Is that not known as Delmarva?
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
Wow, what do you do there?
I'm a poultry farmer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I do.
You're part of the great Delmarva chicken industrial complex.
A very small part, yes.
Really? Because my understanding is that that's where, like, half the chickens we eat comes from.
I think they do a lot of it, yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, do you yourself like chicken, either socially or as a foodstuff?
Well, I try not to get too personal with them. We mix it up occasionally.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a mistake a lot of novice chicken farmers make, because you befriend the chickens, and then
on
you realize...
On those lonely days, you know.
Yeah. They seem so curious and friendly, though.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's a feathery situation.
Yeah. Jack, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Jack's topic?
Nigerian email scams? Oh, that's so 2005.
As a service to our listeners, we at Wait Wait this week are warning you about a new scam threatening your peace and prosperity. Only one of these dangers really lurks out there. Your job is to pick the real threat. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine if you do. Ready to play?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. First up, let's hear from Adam Felber.
Six families from across the Midwest gathered last week to begin season one of the hot new CBS reality show America's Toughest Family. They were given a family tartan to wear, housed at a summer camp facility in Kansas, and readied themselves for combat. A host known to them as Greg Hodes gathered them for their orientation around the communal fire, counseled them to avoid looking straight at the cameramen, and advised them to get a good night's sleep. As you may have guessed by now, this was the last that America's dumbest families saw of their host, their cars, and all of their worldly possessions. Yes, after hiking back to the road the next day, the families returned to robbed homes and a continuing lack of TV stardom. Wichita police say that this show is now in its third season, and they still haven't caught the real fake reality fakers.
America's Toughest Family, not a real reality show, as some people discover to their dismay. Your next cautionary tale comes from Kiri O'Connor.
You may have seen one tucked in the purse of an Olsen twin or perched on the shoulder of Zac Efron. But the latest pet craze, the rare Japanese crested river gerbil, is turning out to be more of a pet scam. Ask Martha Dalton of Atlanta, Georgia. She bought two wasabi and noodles at $49.95 apiece at the Just Being Petty store. She loved the tiny pink nose, the bald pink skin, the long pink tail, and the distinctive mohawk ridge of spiked white dorsal fur. They were just the cutest things, Dalton said. But after about a week, they started sprouting fur all over. Then they had babies. Rat babies, that is. Wasabi and noodles were rats. Shaved, spiked, and gelled rats. Attorneys general in Georgia, New York, and California are investigating the scams. But Dalton's keeping the faux fancy gerbils. They're smarter than my Labrador retriever, she said.
The river gerbil turns out not to be a gerbil or from a river. Your last word of warning comes from Moraka.
While Somali pirates terrorize international waters, a different kind of boating heist is scourging Uganda's nightlife. Call it the ultimate booby trap. Bodacious women lure unsuspecting male bargoers breastward for a little motorboating action. Indeed, the call of the high beams is too much to resist. And within minutes, man overboard. These sailors are unconscious, knockered out. Is this the work of magically hypnotic hooters? No, the women have spread chloroform on their melons. The perp then strips the man bare before the victim wakes up with terrible mammary loss. Quote, the victim doesn't remember anything, police spokesman Fred Inanga said. He just remembers being in the act of romancing. Ugandan men have been warned.
All right.
That is one bizarre tale.
Let's say you leave the chicken farm, want to go see the world. Which of these should you watch out for? Is it from Adam Felber, the fake reality show America's Toughest Family, which is just an excuse for them to rob you? From Kerry O'Connor, the rare river gerbil, which is just a rat with a funny haircut? Or from Moraka, the much-feared Ugandan booby trap?
Well, I admit I haven't been off the farm for a while now, but I'm going to just throw fate to the wind here and just think it's possibly the booby trap thing.
You're going to go for the booby trap thing. You don't sound certain, but you're going to go for that?
Well, I'd have to try one to know, but... I think the third one would be my selection.
All right, that's going to be your choice. Most
that would be your wish.
Well, we spoke...
Well, better than the gerbil.
Hey, don't knock it till you tried it.
Right again.
Ah, that ancient dilemma, the lady or the gerbil.
Well, we spoke to someone who was able to shed some light on this particular scam.
Well, the poor men in Uganda really don't have a chance. Like all men all over the world, they've been trained their entire lives to look at boobs.
That was Elizabeth Squires, author of the book Boobs, A Guide to Your Girls. That's the name of her book. Talking about the feared Ugandan booby trap. Congratulations, Jack. You got it right.
Good Lord.
Well done.
This is good.
You earned a point for Mo. And you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your home answering machine.
Wow, that's good.
It is.
That's good.
Wait, is he more excited about the story or the prize?
I'd like to hear the story again, actually.
All right. You're never going to be able to stay down on the farm after this, Jack,
are you? Things aren't going to be the same. You're absolutely right.
Jack, thank you so much for playing with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And now the game where we invite well-known people onto the show to answer questions about obscure things. Dennis Leary is a stand-up comedian, actor, and he's the creator and star of the FX TV series about firefighters, Rescue Me. He's also now an author with his new self-help book titled Why We Suck. Since that is a subject of some interest to us, we're pleased to welcome Dennis Leary to our show. Dennis, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
So Why We Suck, a feel-good book for a feel-good time.
Yeah, the subtitle's A Feel-Good Guide to Staying Fat, Loud, Lazy, and Stupid.
Right.
So it's really for all of us.
I think so.
I don't think I left anybody out.
No, but your theory, your book does not seem to imply that any American needs advice on how to do that, though.
Yeah, it's kind of a little trip through. It talks about why we're great and then all the things that we need, I think, a little touch-up on.
Really?
Like skinny jeans are for skinny people. I apparently, that's just lost on most of the population in this country.
Right.
Most of the people that are wearing them look like like they jumped out of a 15-story window and landed in the jeans and then never took the jeans off. Meanwhile, the skinny people are wearing the hip-hop baggy jeans with the underwear showing. So all we got to do is really flip that. You know what I mean?
Are you worried that you've become one of those guys like kids these days? What's wrong with them?
Oh, I am that guy.
You're totally that guy.
You're totally that guy. No, that's all over the book. I give that speech all the time.
Yeah.
I don't send my kids to their rooms. There's too much stuff in their rooms. There's plasma televisions, PlayStations. We go to their rooms when they do something wrong. You stay down here where the books are. We're going up there.
Speaking of kids, you actually write about yourself as a kid. You write about your background, which I find interesting. You grew up near Boston.
Yes, in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
Love W-U-S-T-A, as we pronounce it.
Here's the thing. I mean, I imagine my experience is that most comedians, anyway, had childhoods. They were shy. They were a little lonely. They found out that being funny could maybe get them some friends. They went that way. That wasn't really your...
Really? You think most comedians are...
Yeah, that's been my experience.
I thought most of us, at some level, were repressed by religious figures in an organized religion.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, every guy I know, Chris Rock, John Stewart, John Stewart was in Hebrew school. I was in Catholic school. It was basically the same idea. Don't laugh at any of this. That's what they would tell you.
Right.
And it was the word. That's why I love organized religion, because they always want you to not laugh. And in the back of the room, we're all going,
really?
You know? And then they break out the rules, and you go, well, why are there these rules? We should try all this stuff. You know what I mean? So that was my problem, you know?
Okay.
If they had used reverse psychology, I wouldn't be here right now.
Dennis, do anything you want. It's cool. It's
fine. I'd be a priest.
One of the things I ended up really liking about your book were the characters of your parents. Not characters, but real people.
Real people.
I know. Really interesting. And I loved how they encouraged you to be all that you could be within limits.
Well, my parents were Irish immigrants that came from actually adjoining farms in Killarney. And now it's one big farm. But anyways, they came to New York and settled in Worcester, Massachusetts. And at that time, when I was a kid, President Kennedy was the president of the United States. And I went to school one day, and one of the nuns gave a speech about it. If you're born in the United States, you can become the president. Anybody can be the president as long as you're born here. So I went home, and I said, Dad, sister, you know, blah, 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 said that, you know, anybody that's born in the United States could be the president. And he said, that's true. And I said, does that mean that I could be the president? And he goes, hell no. What are you? Are you nuts? So it was a major blow to me at the time. And then I realized as I got older that he was trying to explain to me that you could be almost anything.
Almost anything.
But president was a little bit out of reach.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a self-esteem thing that was true, because I couldn't have been the president. First of all, I didn't pay attention in school at all, which didn't help, you know, at all. No. I really I just chopped my own feet off in the presidential race.
Right. So,
because the current...
But you wouldn't want me as president. I can love these people who say, you know, I like Sarah Palin because she's so much like us. I don't want somebody like us running the country, okay? All right, I really don't. You know? I think most of us suck, and I'm one of those people that sucks. I want somebody really smart running the country. All right?
Well, Dennis Leary, we're delighted to have you with us. We have invited you here this week to play a game we are calling...
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
The generation of men and women now running the world were shaped by more than anything the TV show Sesame Street. I'm sure you watched it as a kid.
Or no.
No, you're too old. That's
I'm
the thing.
Too old.
You're too old. That's why you're so bitter and mean, because you didn't have... You haven't read the book. You didn't have the wonderful, charming, educational lessons of Sesame Street.
No, I had the Three Stooges.
There you go.
Yeah. Look what happened.
So we're going to ask you three questions about that landmark kids show taken from the new authoritative history of Sesame Street called Street Gang by Michael Davis.
Okay.
Get two of these questions right, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle, on their home answering machine, singing his theme song, It's Not Easy Being Avuncular. Carl, who is Dennis Leary playing for?
Dennis is playing for Edith Lees from Omaha, Nebraska.
All right. First question is, I'm sure you remember, or maybe you don't. Sesame Street was known for introducing kids to real-world concepts in a gentle way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the notable early examples was an episode in which one of these things happened. Was it A, Mr. Hooper's grocery store was vandalized? B, folk singer Buffy St. Marie breastfed her baby right in front of Big Bird? Or C, special guest star Elizabeth Taylor explained to Grover why she had had four different husbands? One of them is true.
I'm going to say A.
You're going to say A. Mr. Hooper's grocery store was vandalized?
I'm going with A.
You're going to go with A?
Yeah.
It was Buffy St. Marie.
I can't believe
yeah.
it.
Really? She really was. She was a guest in the show for the first five seasons, and
really?
They went through her pregnancy and the birth of her baby, off screen, I hope, and her baby's son, whose real name, Dakota Star Blanket Wolfchild, eventually got hungry. And so she breastfed him on camera, and Big Bird asked about it and eventually came to the decision, said, quote, "You know, that's nice," said Big Bird.
I can't believe Buffy St. Marie breastfed her.
It's true.
I can't believe Big Bird was okay with it.
Then again, I guess.
Yeah.
His mom was regurgitating food back into his mouth. Yeah. Takes all types.
See, breastfeeding looks kind of normal. Yeah,
compared to your mom.
Wow.
Okay, here's your next question. The show, of course, was for kids, but produced, of course, by adults who, off camera, acted like adults. At one of the season wrap parties, the puppeteers introduced what new character just for their own entertainment? Was it A, Allie the alcoholic, B, Big Butt, or C, the Nookie monster?
Oh.
I really got screwed on this quiz.
Yeah.
You should have come on last week. We did Irish Catholicism.
Did you really?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to gauge against the Buffy thing.
The Buffy thing.
Right.
So I got the Alky.
So, you know, it's a rap party. You know what they're like. You're swinging around. They got a puppet.
Well, the rap party makes me think they'd go right to the Nookie Monster.
So, Nookie.
I'm going with Nookie.
You're right. Nookie Monster.
Hey!
Not like that.
Well done, sir.
All right.
You can imagine the sort of things that Nookie Monster said at that rap party. All right, it all comes down
to
this.
Do we have a tape of that?
No, yeah. I win.
Okay. So I got one left.
Yeah, one left. You get this one right, you win.
Okay.
All right, last question. Many foreign television companies bought the rights to show the series in their own countries, but the head of children's programming for the BBC back in the late 60s turned it down. Why? Was it because, A, she thought the way the show insisted on right answers to questions was, quote, authoritarian indoctrination? Was it B, she noted that many of the Muppets were naked and therefore immodest? Or C, she felt that it was another attempt to create American cultural dominance of the English-speaking world?
Wow, this is really high stakes.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's it right.
Yeah. Get this.
Yeah,
it's win or go home. Yeah.
So, okay. I am going to go with the nudity.
You're going to go with the nudity. She's like, the Muppets were naked. She's like, this is... they don't...
Wait. They don't know either.
They have a strong feeling about it. I don't know that they know. I can tell how they
feel. They have a really strong feeling about it.
No, don't throw those things at him.
You guys don't like the immodest idea?
No, they don't like it.
They don't like it. Okay. Let me float another one.
Just spitballing here.
What do you think? What do you think of the authoritarian?
They like that. They like that. They're very suspicious of authority. Yeah.
Yes?
What would you...
All right, you want C then. Is that what you want? All right, I'm going with you. We will sink or swim together. I'm going with C.
I applaud your solidarity, but you're all wrong.
Oh, my God.
It was A. Authoritarian. She thought it was authoritarian the way they answered the questions correctly. You know this, Mom?
No, yes.
You know what? Yeah. Let's boo them until they give us the right answer that we want.
That's awfully authoritarian of you.
I know, it really is.
I'm sorry.
Really?
Sorry.
I know. At least we're together, right?
Yeah.
We have a bond.
You would have been wrong without them.
Carl, how did Dennis Leary do in our quiz?
Well, Dennis needed two correct answers to win for Edith Lees, but he had just one.
Oh.
I think, wait a minute, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I got one wrong.
Yeah.
And then we all got one wrong.
That's true. Collective guilt, it all went. Dennis Leary is a comedian and the star and co-creator of Rescue Me on the FX Network. He's also the author of the new book, Why We Suck. Dennis Leary, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Give it up for him, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Right now, panel, though, some more questions for you from the week's news. And first, it's once again time for...
Wait welcomes our new benevolent overlords.
our ongoing coverage of the transfer of power in our nation's capital. Adam, President-elect Barack Obama has been reaching out to various members of Congress. Florida Representative Ileana Ross Lehtinen responded to his call by doing what?
Agreeing to teach his daughters the recorder.
He'd been reaching out for someone to do that,
too. Yeah. He's reaching out to people to help him do stuff.
That's not what she did.
Ooh.
No, she didn't do
that.
Did
he ask her to do something and she did it, or did she just voluntarily do it?
He never got that far.
She called for his resignation.
No. In her defense, she was a little wary. You remember that Sarah Palin was pranked by those French-Canadian comics?
She was a little wary. Oh, she wouldn't take his phone call because she thought he was an imposter.
Even worse, she hung up on him.
Okay, great. Am I getting a ding on that? A bell?
I don't know. Carl?
I'll give him a ding.
All right.
Thank you.
The congresswoman's cell phone rings. A guy says, "Hello, congresswoman. This is Barack Obama." And she says, and I quote her, "I'm sorry, but I think this is a joke from one of those South Florida radio stations known for these pranks." Hangs up.
Wow.
A few minutes later, her phone rings again. Guy says, "This is Rahm Emanuel. I can't believe you just hung up on the president-elect." And she says, "Sure, buddy, good try." Hangs up again. Phone rings. It's now her good friend Howard Berman, who she serves in Congress with on a committee. Howard Berman says, "Ileana, you just hung up first on Barack Obama, and then you hung up on Rahm Emanuel." And she says, "How do I know this is really Howard Berman?" And she asks him about some, like, private story that only he and she know, some distinguishing birthmark or something. And she's like, "Oh, my God, it's really you. Oh, my God, you're
telling me the truth." It was really Rahm Emanuel, therefore, oh, my God, it was really, oh.
So finally, you know, she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she gets back on the phone with Barack Obama. She apologizes profusely. And Barack Obama says, "All I wanted to know is your refrigerator running?" And then he laughs, hangs up. Okay, that last part we made up, but everything else we had. It's true.
That would be how many morning zoo guys know who Rahm Emanuel is? That would be a very highbrow prank.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to morning radio. Exactly. Because if she did,
Once you get down to, like, Congressman Howard Berman from California, you know, then you're really deep in the weeds.
That would be the NPR morning zoo. Nobody else would know that one.
Kiri.
Yes.
Kiri, after months of unsuccessful attempts to get their two polar bears to mate, a zoo in Japan has finally discovered the reason. Turns out that the polar bears are what?
They're both of the same sex?
Yes, they're both female.
Oh.
Tsuyoshi, the polar bear, was acquired by the municipal zoo in Kyushiro, Japan, as a mate for their 11-year-old female polar bear, Kurumi. They put the two together, started knitting baby booties, but after 5 months and not so much as a flirt, they put Tsuyoshi under anesthesia, gave him a checkup. That's when they discovered that Tsuyoshi is actually a Tsukyo.
So why was he dressed like that?
Zookeepers apologized for the error. They said they should have known when one of the bears raised the issue of redecorating their pen and the other was genuinely interested.
Polar bears voted for Prop 8 in huge numbers.
Yeah. Who's to say, why are you saying they can't have cubs? Keep your natural laws off their bodies.
You might be wondering, how hard is it to figure out if a polar bear is a male or female? The answer is pretty hard. Their, shall we say, distinguishing features are relatively small for their size, covered with fur. Yeah. Most biologists recommend anesthetizing the bears and shaving the area to check, or just looking at their Netflix queue and seeing if they've ordered the Sex and the City movie.
That seems like an awfully cruel joke to put them to sleep and shave them.
Yeah. Yeah. Takes them back to their college days, no doubt.
Exactly.
You know what's even worse?
Everything's written on them in Sharpie, too.
And you
dip their paw in warm water. Exactly.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago. And you can download the Wait Wait podcast for your computer or MP3 player. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Christine from Cincinnati.
Hey, Christine, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are things in Cincinnati?
A little cold, but probably not as cold as Chicago.
Yes, that's true. We take pride in that. So do you do something amusing with livestock of any kind? Because that's what we're hoping for.
I don't. I'm in grad school, although there are lots of animals here.
There you go. Grad school for what?
I'm getting two masters, one in art education and the other in fine arts.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, the arts are a growth industry.
Right. I'm headed for a lucrative career, no
doubt. Absolutely. As an artist. Well, welcome to our show, Christine. Carl Castle, right here, is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your first limerick.
Oil tankers have been in the news. It's a cargo that pirates can use. Our slick shuffleboard set is their best booty yet. But the pirates cannot catch our...
Cruise?
Yes! It's like something out of a very special episode of The Love Boat. On Monday, pirates tried to attack a 30,000-ton luxury cruise ship filled with Americans off the coast of Yemen. They came within 300 yards. They shot off rifles, but they underestimated the resourcefulness of the crew. They accelerated the ship to 23 knots and outran the pirates. Plus, and this was brilliant, the entire Leibowitz clan of Boca Raton, there for a bar mitzvah, curled stale dinner rolls from the buffet. And Isaac, the bartender, tossed Molotov cocktails.
The Pacific Princess is outrunning you. That's bad.
Yeah. I think if the Pacific Princess is off the coast of Yemen, that's worse for the Pacific Princess, but that's another story. Captain Steubing's been drinking again,
exactly,
apparently.
Yeah.
Here is your next limerick.
Has your can of beluga gone stale? Try a dish with a slight slimy trail. You like things without legs that have thousands of eggs? Take it slow with the offspring of...
Snail.
Snail, yes. Very good. Caviar? You're serving caviar? Oh, please, that's so risarché. Try the new taste sensation for jaded gourmets, snail slime. The French company De Jager is now offering snail caviar, which they've created with the help of 60,000 snails who live in pens, eat vegetation and cereal, and work overtime creating the oh-so-tempting slime and eggs. The snail caviar has, quote, a delicate flavor with surprising sensations, says De Jager. They also say, quote, let your mouth experience the sensation of a walk in the forest after the rain, mushrooms and oak leaf flavors, the scent of humid moss peat. Or, if you're strapped for cash, you can just head for the closest wet sidewalk and start licking. All right, here is your last limerick.
At a time when my kids try their best, on their blank minds, your brand gets impressed. Since copying funds have been cut down to none, I would like you to sponsor this.
Oh. I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
Rhymes with best or impressed? Something kids
mess?
Do? No, how about, I'll give it to you since you've already won, how about test?
Oh.
Yeah, sponsor a test. California calculus teacher Tom Farber had a big problem. His school district was cutting his funds. So Farber began selling ads on his test papers. A quiz goes for $10. A chapter test is $20. A semester final, $30. So far, business is booming. He's raised $350, and his semester final is sold out. A few ads are from local businesses. Most are from parents writing inspirational messages to their kids, which has led to an even more lucrative side business for Farber. For $25, students get a guarantee that the embarrassing good luck, Billy, kissy, kissy, mom message will never see the light of day.
It's got to be embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine a lot of the ads are for test prep centers. And
really?
Like that.
Yeah. You would be doing better right now if you had called us.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Help they finally help found lines. Their way in.
Yeah. So could you buy an ad and like put the answers in?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Or is it built into the test? Like if Dougie has 2 6-packs and a pack of smokes... And
ooh,
he gives
purchased
away.
At ooh, down at Jones Convenience.
That's great product placement.
Yeah, product placement.
Fantastic. I'm convinced that...
Kids won't fall for that.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Christine do in our quiz?
Well enough, Peter. Christine had 2 correct answers, so she wins our prize.
Well done.
Yay, thank
congratulations.
You.
Congratulations. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carol, can you give us the scores?
Adam Felber has the lead. He has 3 points. Kerry O'Connor and Mo Rocca are tied for second. Each has 2.
All right, we have flipped a coin to break the tie. Kerry has elected to go first, so the clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Last week's deadly attacks in Mumbai led to increased tensions between India and blank.
Pakistan.
Right. After an agreement was reached with their governing council, the U.S. now has a timeline for withdrawing troops from blank.
Iraq.
Right. The FDA said last week the trace amounts of blank in baby formula are safe.
Melamine. Melamine.
Larry Lankford, the mayor of blank, was arrested on charges of bribery and corruption this week.
Oh, I don't know where he's in. Portland, Oregon.
Birmingham, Alabama. A mugging in Canada took an unexpected turn when the mugger and the muggy began blanking.
Dancing.
No, it began dueling with squeegees from a gas station. December 1st marked the 20th anniversary of the first World Blank Day.
Native American.
AIDS Day. The release of her 6th album, Circus, is being hailed as Blank's big comeback.
Britney Spears.
Right. After months on the run, police in Nebraska believe they have finally nabbed the notorious vandal known as Blank.
Cow tipper.
No, the butt bandit.
They
have found the butt bandit. We've followed the story so closely on this show for a year. Police in Valentine, Nebraska have been trying to figure out who was behind a string of late night incidents involving Vaseline butt prints on windows throughout town. Well, Valentine's chief of police believes he has got the right guy. The unnamed 35-year-old man was arrested and loaded into the backseat of a police car. Sadly, he didn't make it to the jail. The police car took a hard right turn and he slid right off the seat. And out the door. Carl, how did Kerry do in our quiz?
It's a very special kind of Valentine.
Kerry had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 10 points, and Kerry has taken the lead.
All right. Very good.
You're a tough round. That's a tough round.
He's tough. Mo, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the runoff vote for the Georgia Senate seat went to blank.
Saxby Chambliss.
Right. Newsday reported that a dispute over people cutting in line led to Black Friday's tragedy at a Long Island blank.
Walmart.
Right. Airport sieges, which stranded more than 300,000 travelers in blank, were lifted on Wednesday.
Thailand.
Right. 31 years after he was charged with a sex crime, Director Blank has asked that the case be dismissed.
Roman Polanski.
Right. A judge in France ruled that Nicolas Sarkozy voodoo dolls can be sold as long as they include a label that says blank.
Don't mess with Carla.
No. The label says that the dolls are offensive to Nicolas Sarkozy. In a victory for Barbie maker Mattel, a judge has ruled that a rival manufacturer must stop making the popular blank dolls.
It's got to be a Barbie knockoff.
It's called?
It's not Bratz. Is it called
the lightning round.
Is it called, Barbie?
No. It was, in fact, the Bratz dolls. Lil Wayne and Coldplay were among performers nominated for the most blank awards this week.
Grammy.
Yes, editors in Australian men's magazine are panicking after they learned that they'd somehow lost blank.
A very bodacious kangaroo that was going to be the centerfold.
No, they somehow lost 130,000 inflatable plastic breasts. Supposed to be a free gift with the January issue of Ralph magazine, free inflatable breasts for every subscriber, but the shopping crate arrived at the Sydney docks empty. And editors fear that their inflatable breasts may be floating somewhere on the high seas.
You know, I thought those Somali pirates looked a little more buxom than they had before. Maybe that's what was slowing them down.
It's possible.
Wind resistance.
Yes. All right. Carl, how did Mo do?
Mo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Mo is in the lead.
Well, then. How many, then, does Adam need to win?
5 correct answers.
Okay, Adam. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. AT&T was one of the companies that announced it would be cutting thousands of blanks this week.
Jobs.
Right. President Bush announced that he and Laura Bush are planning to purchase a home in blank.
Maine.
No, Dallas. Months after he resigned in a prostitution scandal, former New York Governor Blank made his debut as a columnist for Slate.com.
Elliot Spitzer.
Right. According to a new study, some lizards blank to get attention.
Play dead.
No, do push-ups. Oh. That's why I do them. Alan Keyes and Clarence Thomas were among those pushing the Supreme Court to accept a case challenging blank's citizenship.
Barack Obama's.
Right. Booksellers anticipated high sales as Tales of Beetle the Bard, a book of stories mentioned in the Blank series, went on sale.
Harry Potter.
Right. After an intense 90-minute armed standoff, police at a bank in New Jersey finally took a blank into custody.
A cardboard cutout.
Exactly right. Life-sized. Police were called to the PNC Bank. After the alarm went off, they looked inside. They could see an unauthorized person inside just standing there, silently mocking them. When that person refused to come out peacefully or respond to calls, police sealed off the area, evacuated nearby residents, and finally sent in the SWAT team. The cardboard standee was taken into custody and has refused to make a statement or answer questions. Carl, did Adam do well enough to win?
He needed five correct answers. He had five correct
answers.
For over 13 points, Adam Felbert is this week's champion.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the first big disagreement between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and XL Recordings, featuring Vampire Weekend, whose self-titled debut album is available now at Borders and Amazon.com. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And Netflix and Universal Home Entertainment, presenting Forgetting Sarah Marshall, available on DVD and Blu-ray at Netflix.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our intern is Ann Cadigan. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our technical director is Robert Newhouse. Other engineers include Lorna White, Les Dolarchik, and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac and Jewel Dolce at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Emily Ecton and Philip Klaperick. This week, we say farewell and thanks to our director, Melody Kramer, who did a tremendous amount for us in just a short time. We thank her for booking some amazing guests, for taking some great photos, for baking some funny-looking cookies, and, of course, for making Carl Castle a Facebook celebrity. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will Barack and Hillary fight about first? Adam Felbert.
The war of passive aggression will begin when Hillary calls Obama's presidency almost Clinton-esque, and Obama compliments Hillary's, quote, great secretarial work.
Ooh, harsh. Carrie O'Connor.
Barack's going to get really mad when he finds out that Hillary planted a listening device on the puppy.
And Mo Rocca.
At the first cabinet luncheon, Hillary is the only member not eating off of a Barack Obama commemorative plate.
Well, if Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton fight about any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Kiri O'Connor, Mo Rocca. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.